21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for award-winning 21st Century Radio with your host, Dr. Zoe Hieronymus.
Everybody needs a helping hand. Take a look at your fellow man and tell me what can I do today. Because everybody needs a helping out. If that ain't what it's all about, tell me what. What can I do? What can I do today?
Welcome to 21st Century Radio. I'm Dr. Zohara Hieronymus. Laura Kortner is our executive producer, and Sean Roman, that's a nice name, Sean Roman, runs our board. Joining us this hour are co-authors Ellen Goldberg and Dorian Bergen for a look at the ancient art of palmistry and their new book, The Art and Science of Hand Reading, Classical Methods for Self-Discovery Through Palmistry, a Destiny Book 2016 release. Ellen Goldberg, primary author, is an internationally renowned teacher of tarot and palmistry. She is the founder and director of the School of Oracles and has been on the faculty of the New York Open Center since 1986. She is also a psychotherapist and has maintained a private therapy practice in New York City for more than 30 years. Dorian Bergen, assistant author, is the co-owner of ACA Galleries in New York City. A student and practitioner of palmistry for more than 25 years, she has a special interest in documenting how children's hands change over time. Their book covers everything from ancient practices to modern uses and how we can apply this art and science in our lives. It's a wonderfully illustrated guide with hundreds of hand drawings, making clear that palmistry allows a person to know about their hidden talents, our dispositions, lifelong emotional and physical enjoyments, as well as issues, because as palmists will say, we are born with our destiny in our hands. So get out your hands and a magnifying glass if you need one, or at least your reading glasses, and enjoy their wise guidance as we take a journey across the landscape of our hands. Ladies, Ellen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
And I think we're all still working on getting Dorian. So,
oh, yes, and I see she was just trying to call me on the cell, so I see she'll be there.
All right, very good. So while we track Dorian down, or she tracks us, how did you get involved with palmistry?
Well, I can tell you that part of it was fate. When I was a young woman, I'm 71 now, but when I was in my late 20s, someone introduced me to the I Ching. And really, it's the same intelligence, the divine intelligence that manifests and animates everything. And once I realized there was a higher intelligence and that it would communicate, I started on my lifelong journey of discovering every way I could that manifested.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Lo and behold, it turns out I was gifted in these areas. And before long, I had found myself at a small school of mystic arts, the first of a good number that I attended. And at that school, they made me the assistant to the palmistry teacher. And the palmistry teacher then promptly inherited a house, moved away, and I was prematurely made a teacher of palmistry, quit my job as a social worker, and scrambled to keep one step ahead of the class.
That's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. That's like a destiny pull. Does that show up in your hand? Like, does your own hand show that you were destined to read palms?
I could say that I have a very good hand for reading palms. I have a very clear ring of Solomon. I am, in the book, we talk about the seven primary archetypes of the palm, which are related to the seven planets of the ancients. And there is one archetype that happens to rule palmistry, and that is Saturn. And I am quite Saturnian, so it's a good fit. I'm also a psychotherapist, an astrologer, a teacher of tarot.
So an interpreter. So, it's fascinating, all these beautiful divinatory arts. And palmistry, of course, goes back so long ago. And in your book, you talk about how the Chinese have used it. Share with us a bit about the history of palmistry and what cultures have honored it.
Well, like so many things, when something is true and good, it surfaces in many places in the world because it rises up out of the collective unconscious. So palmistry, we see from the earliest drawings the way drawings in caves were illustrated and ornamented with pictures of hands, starting as far back as 50,000 years BCE, before our era. And we find them in Spain, in Argentina, you know, we find them in France, in Russia. All over the world, people started looking at their hands from the dawn of time. And I think it was really, in many ways, we call it the first psychology, because it allowed people to look beneath the surface of things and to see the inner nature. And this science has built up over thousands of years, people making observations, collating them, in different cultures like Egypt, China, India, all contributed a great deal to what we have now as modern palmistry. And I'm very excited. I've been invited to teach tarot in China in October. But, oh, I cannot wait to get my hands read and to talk to the old Chinese Taoist palmists that are there still.
Yeah, I bet. You know, when I look at the book, and it's so funny, today I was looking at your book and then looking at my hand and looking at my husband's hand. And what's so interesting is the difference between sort of the basic categories of a square palm or a rectangular palm or an elongated long fingers or short fingers. So my husband's hand, as an example, he has a hefty square palm and he has short fingers, which makes his hand an earth hand. And then my hand is a square palm with long fingers, and that makes my hand an air hand. You know, I think one of the beautiful things about the book that you and Dorian have authored together is that literally any person can look at these pictures and then look at their hand and learn something about the nature, natural characteristics of themselves, the people in their families, or even the people that they will hire to work for them, which is what I thought was such an interesting perspective. So while we're getting Dorian online, let me just share with the audience, because we need to keep the line clean for both of you to be on at the same time. I want to just share, you had mentioned, Ellen, these seven mounts of the hand, and there's Jupiter, Saturn, Apollo, or the sun, Mercury, the communicator, Mars, the warrior, the moon, the visionary, and Venus, the lover, and that these are places on the hand. And so let me just tell the audience, if you put your hand out in front of you, level over your desk or over wherever you're sitting, and you don't stretch it hard, but you just gently look at the surface of it, you'll see that there are certain places on your hand, what they call mounts, or I think of as mounds, where you will see certain parts of the hand are higher than others. And this is where our experts, who we can now rejoin, share us how these mean something. All right. So I did my best to fill while you two were being arranged in line. Welcome, Dorian.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
It's a pleasure. All right. So let's return then to that basic effort of mine, that we have very distinct types of hands. And that's a good place to start with the audience who may not have a palmistry book, particularly your beautiful book, The Art and Science of Hand Reading, in front of them.
Well, each hand is unique. You know, the Chinese started using fingerprints for identification 1,000 years before we did here in the West. And if we can distinguish people from their fingerprints alone, just imagine using the whole hand, the mounts, which I think of as mountains because we call the hand God's roadmap. So the paddings are mounts or mountains, and the lines are rivers of energy. And we look at fingers, we look at skin texture, flexibility. There is a whole list of things we look at, and therefore each person is incredibly unique. Even the hands of twins are unique. In fact, that's how I got to know Jeffrey and his brother Jonathan, by reading their palms when I met them by chance in an elevator at the Whitney Museum many, many years.
And that's Dorian's brother, Jeffrey, and his deceased twin brother. And
well, Dorian's husband, really.
I meant husband. I'm sorry. Dorian, I had asked Ellen how she got involved in palmistry. How did you come to palmistry?
Well, it all has to do with Ellen.
We were at a party. Our best friends naturally would evolve. Be book partners.
All right, coming back to Dorian. So what were you saying, Dorian?
Well, truly, 26 years ago, Ellen was at a party. I was at the same party, and everybody kept talking about, did you get your palm read? And I truly just almost finished college, and I was a science major, and I had no idea what palmistry was all about. Finally, Ellen is walking out the door, and I'm like, you know what? Why don't I just ask her? So she came back. She read my hand. And it was so accurate, in a matter of minutes, she knew things about me. And I asked her, how did you know these things about me?
Mm-hmm.
And she shrugged and she said, well, it's 5,000 years old. And she went out the door and we kept seeing each other. And I'm, as you can also see from the book and my hand, I'm very persistent. And when I know something is worth looking into, I don't stop. And right, Ellen? I stalked
her. That's right. Dorian hounded me until I put her plans together.
I can see you two love each other. You talk like sisters.
Yes, and I said, you have to teach me, you have to teach me. And she taught me. And then I said, let's start writing. And we have to write because her knowledge, the knowledge of 5,000 years old, even older, is valuable to bring things forward.
There's no other book like this, I have to say, and you know how grateful all of us are to our shared publisher, Destiny Books, Inner Traditions, Bear and Company. They have a number of imprints, but they do such a beautiful job of preserving the ancient's wisdom for centuries to come. And we're also grateful to Ehud Sperling and his beautiful community of collaborators. So coming back, though, to things 100%. That our audience can do, because we can't show them your hands or my hand or your palmistry book, give us some examples of things that people can look at to start the basic.
Oh, we love this question, don't we, Ellen?
I can't hear so well. Say that again.
We love this question.
Yeah,
like
of the basics.
Five easy things.
Absolutely.
Right.
Five easy things to learn over the radio that our listeners, the listeners, can look at.
All right.
Okay, you start with one, Dorian, and then I'll go.
Okay, I'm going to start with one, which is so easy. Look at your hand. Do you have a lot of lines, or do you have very few lines?
Meaning like deep, clear lines, or lines with lots of stuff going on them?
Lots of lines, just lines. Most people have the big three, we call. The headline, the heart line, the lifeline, the three basic lines. But if you have a lot of lines, like many people have a lot of lines, that it's very easy to determine whether you have a lot of lines or a few lines. And if you have a lot of lines, it means that you are very sensitive, very detailed-oriented. You have each line is almost like an electromagnetic impulse. And so you are a little high-strung and very sensitive. You remember everything. And the people who do not have a lot of lines, they see the big picture, but they are not detail-oriented. And
well, I have a lot of lines.
Learn to say so what. Right, Ellen?
But before you go through that, if somebody turns their hand over, let's do it with our right hand, which is our present, and is that right? And the left hand's the past?
Well, if you're right-handed, it would be vice versa.
Okay.
If you're a lefty, but the dominant hand shows where you are now, and the recessive hand, which doesn't change as much, shows the pattern given at birth. But the dominant hand changes every time you change.
Wow. So I'm right-handed. So right-handers should look at their right hand right now, and left-handers should look at their left hand. Now, the line at the very top of the hand, that's what?
The heart line.
That's the heart line. And then there's another dominant line below that one that goes across the palm.
Across the hand. That's the headline.
And that's your headline.
And then there's one that circles the thumb in a big arc. Starts near where the headline starts, but it runs downward and around the ball of the thumb and that's the lifeline.
Right.
Now, each of these has alternate names. The heartline shows how our feeling, what our dominant mode of emotion is.
And again, folks, that's the one at the top of your hand that runs like from your index finger downward to under your pinky.
And for some people, it doesn't start under the index finger. It starts under the middle finger.
Huh?
And those people are touchers, and they need a lot of hugs, and they are more physical in their love.
Hmm.
And
interesting.
For some people, it starts exactly between the index finger and the middle finger. And those people are balanced between reason and emotion and are sensible about love but feel very devoted once they make a choice. And some people, those lines start deep under the index finger, right on the lovely big padding that's under the index finger. And those people have high romantic ideals.
Yeah,
and
I guess they would.
Occasionally, there's someone whose heart line runs from one end of the hand all the way to the other. And those people have such strong emotions and are emotionally obsessive.
Huh, so fascinating. And then, all right, so now if we move down again to the next dominant line that goes across kind of the middle of the hand, what you call the head line.
Yes. Now, some of those head lines are curved and some of them are straighter. And some of them curve down towards the outer corner of the hand, which is opposite the thumb. And those are very creative people. And if it goes deep into that outer corner, and that would be a long headline with a long, deep curve, they would be highly intuitive. But the people whose headlines run straighter, straight out to, say, the middle of the hand, they don't dip downward so much as run straight, those are realists, and they like to know what's going on and how do they get the job done.
So fascinating. Of course, I have none of those.
Clearly
intuitive, high strung. We're going to take a little break and come back and continue our beautiful journey to the art and science of hand reading with our guests, co-authors Ellen Goldberg and Durian Bergen, the art and science of hand reading, classical methods for self-discovery through palmistry. And there is no better book I don't think you can find. It's a Destiny Books 2016 release. And Ellen's website, by the way, is www.schoolfororacles.com. And Durian's website with the beautiful gallery she and her family run, acagalleries.com. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Itzhak Beery, the author of The Gift of Shamanism, Visionary Power, Ayahuasca Dreams, and Journeys to the Other Realm. I'm really happy to be with you on 21st Century Radio, hosted by Dr. Zohara Hieronymus. You can reach me at itzhakbeery.com or thegiftofshamanism.com.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. Our guests are co-authors Ellen Goldberg and Durian Bergen. Their book, A Destiny 2016 release, The Art and Science of Hand Reading, Classical Methods for Self-Discovery Through Palmistry. All right, so coming back to, how about you, Durian, for a moment, about these different basics that our audience can learn a little bit about over the radio. And we've started with the heart line, which is the line that goes across the top of the hand. And then you mentioned the line below it that goes across the hand called a headline. What else can we share? You said you have five things, and I interrupted you.
Oh, no, that's fine. A lot of lines or few lines. And then if you take your hand and place it on top of your the back of your hand and determine whether it's very soft or very rough, and it may take a few instances where you feel different hands, but if you feel many hands, you will determine whether one is very, very soft or medium soft or a little rough. Maybe like on the outer would be like sandpaper, to like really soft, like velvet.
And what does that tell us?
It tells you how refined the person is. Are they very refined? Do they care about their surroundings, their how things look, how things appear? Or are they more rough?
But somebody else would say, hey, ladies, that's just occupation. What if I'm a house cleaner or I'm using a lot of, you know, oils in my work and I'm washing my hands constantly or whatever? Somebody could say, you can get rough skin from the things you're using and not necessarily have rough skin.
No, it's inherent. It's inherent. It has nothing to do with your occupation.
Okay.
Or it truly has to do with how refined the person is.
Fascinating.
Well,
so the texture.
The skin on the palm of the hand can get calloused, you know, whether you're doing it from gardening or rowing a boat or digging a ditch. So you cannot use the palm itself. But
right.
The skin on the back, up especially closer up towards the fingers, that's what we use to grade the person's general refinement. And if you will feel a number of hands, you will see that some hands feel like sandpaper
mm-hmm.
and others feel like velvet and others are most are somewhere in between. I'd say for each person they should go out and feel the hands of people they know. But the hand never lies. In the back of the hand, it's true some people may be working with chemicals, but those are fewer. That's, you know, the great minority.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it will be a very good gauge of the natural sensitivity of the person.
Well, once again, I'm high sensitive. Nothing we didn't already know.
Not feeling the back of your hand is silky.
Yeah, very.
Well, that's because then we know that your emotions are sensitive. You're sensitive to everything that goes around.
Oh, yeah.
Around you. And you really would like things, whenever you have a choice, to be done very nicely with a great deal of care.
Amen. That is very true of me and other people listening who have that soft skin. All right, so you've now told us that you can have a few lines on your hand, obviously the basics. Everybody has a heart line, a head line, and a life line?
Almost everybody.
Almost
sometimes
everybody.
Heart and head are combined into one called a simian line, and there's just one line moving across the hand. Those people combine head and heart in everything they do.
How fascinating. Okay, so, and then there's this issue of the texture of the skin. And what are the other next basics?
Well,
flexibility.
Yes, if you hold your hand out and you press on the fingers with the other hand, notice if the hand opens to its full extent or whether it can't quite open, whether the fingers still curl inward or whether they bend back and form a graceful arch. And the more flexible
and everything in between.
And what does this mean? Flexibility.
Yes.
How adaptable. Hands are flexible minds.
Uh-huh.
How adaptable you are.
Oh, wow.
Are you stubborn? Are you adaptable? Do you
mm-hmm.
go with the flow?
Normal is just that it will open up completely straight.
You know, if we sit here long enough with
closed, they won't open up to their full extent. But if that hand opens up completely flat and the fingers extend, that is considered plenty good enough.
How
when they bend back, and some people's bend back so far you think they are double jointed,
mm-hmm.
these people are extremely adaptable and also versatile.
Hmm.
They can change in the twinkling of an eye.
Wow, a handshake is beginning to have a whole new meaning, huh?
And oh, well, we haven't even gone into how a handshake.
No, no. All right, so now we've done, so let's recap what we've done. We've done the three basic lines. We've talked about whether you have a lot of lines or just a few. And there's also that difference between whether it's a deep, clear line or a braided line with all kinds of stuff going on.
Oh, that's very true. But that might be a little more difficult for people to
see the difference.
But we would say that when a line is deep and clear, the function of the line is working at its optimal best. Deep, clear heart line, people's emotions are deep, true, and steady. A braided heart line, They're more fickle, sentimental, emotional, and changeable. A headline that's deep and clear, and that would be the most important line if one could have it deep and clear, or even thin and clear. But clear headline means a clear mind that's capable of concentration, learning, and has better mental health. Headlines with lots of chains are more nervous, confused, and have a hard time concentrating and more liable to neuroses.
Hmm. So you had mentioned that we each obviously have two hands. Most of us with the good fortune have two hands. And if we're dominant right hand, that's the one to look at. And if we're dominant left hand, that's the one to use in general. But Dorian, I know you have an interest in how children's hands change over time. Can we talk for a moment and then come back to some of the other basics about what our hands tell us as they do change? And do both hands change the same?
Well, the hands change all the time. And we know that even as newborns, there are certain indications that are apparent from the time you're born, how independent a person is, or maybe more dependent upon their parents. That's really one of the easiest.
How large the thumb is, if they're going to be willful,
yes,
or
yes,
going to be emotional,
exactly,
in their approach to life.
Okay, and so the thumb, wait, we'll come back to that. So the thumb can be short, it can be long, it can be fat, it can be tapered. Mm-hmm. What about the thumb shows a strong will?
Oh, the thumb is so important. Actually, Ellen and I wrote a lot of, almost 200 pages on the thumb, and then we
cut it down to 30.
Cut it down. The thumb is so important. The thumb is crucial. The first thing you look at is the thumb.
Because all
of the qualities in the hand, will it come to fruition? And it depends on the thumb. How much will a person has? Can they actually perform? And
because different thumbs have different talents,
right?
But certain thumbs, and there are large thumbs. There are standard-sized thumbs. In palmistry, the standard size in anything is always plenty good enough.
Yeah.
And there are small thumbs. And great leaders often have large thumbs. But poets and inspirational people often have small thumbs, but they have problems following through. The lovely thing about palmistry is it helps you to see your strengths and your weaknesses so that you know where to get help and you know what you can capitalize on.
Mm-hmm. I had mentioned while we were getting you both online together that when I looked at my hand, which is a square palm with long fingers, more of an air hand.
Oh, how lovely. Very rare.
Lovely. Yes, very nice.
I'm a rare bird. And my husband has definitively a really square palm with short fingers, which is the earth hand.
Like Dorian has an earth
hand. I have that.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very practical. And they don't call it earthy for nothing because they are down to earth and they like to make things manifest and they keep it simple.
And I loved what you all said in the book, and these earth hand people don't think anybody else works hard enough.
Well, no one works harder than Dorian. I can say that. He drives himself.
Thank you, Ellen.
All right. So to other people, though, in the listening audience, maybe we can describe the four basic shapes of hands because everybody can do that while they're listening.
Oh, they absolutely could. Well,
okay,
there are
so
two
I'll just say
palm
the earth
shapes.
Wait, what'd you say?
I was going to say there are two basic palm shapes.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Square and rectangle. And when you just look at your hand, palm, not counting the fingers, take a look and see if it looks more hold it up sort of at eye level to yourself. See, does it look more rectangular or does it look more square? That's step one. Now we have two basic finger length shapes. We're not counting the middle length. We're counting do they seem longer or do they seem shorter? And when we combine that with the possibility of square and rectangle-shaped palms, we come up with four possibilities. Rectangles with short fingers, like I have, which are fire, rectangles with long fingers, which are very sensitive, and they belong to water. Then there's the square with short fingers, that's earthy, and they are practical and hardworking people. And then they are the rare ones, square with long fingers, which is air, and they are intellectual. They have the practicality of earth and the long, careful thoughtfulness of long fingers. We have a nice appendix on this in the back of the book. I would just like to say that this book is written in such a way that if someone starts on page one and just reads it through a few pages a day, within a year they could be a palmist, because we laid it out in such a way. I wrote it out of my notes from classes I've been teaching for 40 years. You know, Dorian and I sat side by side, and I sat with my notebook on my lap that I teach from, and we put it out there as if it were a lesson, logical piece after logical piece, so that this book is easy to understand. You can actually learn palmistry from it.
No, there's no question about it, and the pictures are just an extraordinary thing, because there's no guessing. And the other thing I was kind of curious about, as your hands change and your print changes, is that, you know, some people automatically, even when they're young, have a crooked finger or two, and that means something. But as we get older, we tend, through arthritis, to get more crooked hands than we would have had. So what happens when it's sort of just like this generic arthritic aging?
That's a good question. We do not take it as seriously. We do not give it the full value that the bent finger would add when a hand does not have arthritis. So when you see a number of bent fingers, the first thing a palmist would do would be to inquire about arthritis. And if a person has arthritis, they know it. And but a bent finger in and of itself, and I know babies that are born with bent fingers on a particular finger. It's not always all fingers that are bent. It's usually just one or two. It adds extra cleverness to the part of the brain that the nerves from that part of the hand go to, because there are more nerves between the hand and the brain than in any other part of the nervous system. And therefore, when certain indications occur in the hand, it fires up the corresponding part of the brain, and bent fingers add sharpness, keenness, and cleverness to the areas the brain rules.
You also show in your book that the hand in general, and we're going to take our last break, is broken down to the top of the hand of the fingers representing our mental capacity or qualities, and then the mid part of the hand from the bottom of the fingers to like a third of the palm down is our practical. And then from where the crease of basically the thumb is, if you draw these horizontal lines, to the wrist is the physical. And then you show that the fingers themselves, which have these three phalanges, are the exact same makeup. Like the top of the index finger is mental, and below that the second phalange is practical, and the one below that is physical. So when we come back, now that everybody can look at their hands and see whether they have deep, clear lines, braided lines, square palms, rectangular palms, short fingers, long fingers, when we come back, more on that with our amazing guests, co-authors Ellen Goldberg and Dorian Bergen. Their book, The Art and Science of Hand Reading, Classical Methods for Self-Discovery Through Palmistry, a Destiny Book 2016 release.
I'm Cassandra Beaton, President and CEO of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, founded by Apollo 14 astronaut Edgar Mitchell, sixth person to walk on the moon, at www.noetic.org. You're listening to 21st Century Radio with Zohara Hieronymus.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. First caller who knows the names of our co-authors, whose book is entitled The Art and Science of Hand Reading, Classical Methods for Self-Discovery Through Palmistry, Destiny Books 2016 release, will be a winner of this magnificent 600-some page book, 530-some. All you need to do is call us, 410-922-6680. That's 1-800-WCBM-680. And tell us who the two co-authors are. So, ladies, firstly, I want to give out the website again of one of our authors, www.schooloforacles.com. I think I missaid that before. Schooloforacles.com. And the other website, www.acagalleries.com. All right, so we've covered the basics of many lines on the hand, deep lines on the hand. We've talked about square palms and rectangle palms, long fingers and short fingers. What about the fingertip shapes themselves? That's an easy one to look at the difference.
Well, first of all, fingers are like antennas, and they bring the life force into the hand. Short fingers aren't very long. The life force enters the hand very quickly, and so those people, the shorter the fingers, the quicker the mind. If any of the listeners have always thought, why do I have such short, stubby fingers? Be proud of them. That means you see the big picture fast. And long fingers take their time, want to go slow and careful, and you dare not rush them. They like to think things through. But that's the finger length itself. Then the tips are how do those antennas interface with the universe. And there are four basic shapes. There are conic tips, which are gently rounded, very taper tips, which are almost pointed. There are wide, almost square tips, which are practical and realistic and orderly. And then there are flared tips, which bulge out a little at the sides, called spatulas. They look a little like a kitchen spatula, and they are original, energetic, and love independence.
And the conic one, the regular sort of rounded one, what was that? That was the only one I didn't hear you say what that means.
That is inspirational, love of beauty, creative, feelingful. It's a lovely tip to have because it both allows you to function well in the world and yet be on the sensitive emotional side. People with pointed tips may be a little too delicate for this world, but they certainly can connect us to higher realms because those antenna are really bringing in the broadcast of the universe.
Mm-hmm. And the tips don't change. I mean, I know that if you play an instrument, they can kind of get spatula-like if you already have a round tip, but that's not naturally the tip of the finger for somebody necessarily.
What do you think, Dorian?
I don't think that fingertips change very quickly. I know the finger sizes definitely change quickly. I've documented them. But the fingertips are sort of set.
Mm-hmm. Unless you really change your attitude drastically, because they show us attitudes or approach to life. Do you know you can have a different fingertip shape on every finger?
Well, that'll make you a very unusual person, huh?
Yes, it would, because some people have a more... Very often, someone may have conic or square, but on the ring finger, which is the artistic finger, it might be spatulate and flared, and that's considered the fingertip of the entertainer.
Mm-hmm. We see that. That's pretty common, right?
Yes.
On the Apollo finger, the ring finger to be spatula-tipped.
That's interesting.
Yes, if only one is going to be spatulate, it will often
be that.
It'll
be that one.
But many times people will have all of a similar one, but maybe one different. You know, sometimes a writer will have conic tips or square tips, but the little pinky, the finger of communication, might be almost pointed, and then you know their communication is inspirational.
So for those in the listening audience who are still looking at their hands going, wait a second, I don't know what any of this means, let's go back over basics anybody can use when they meet somebody for the first time, whether it's, you know, a child or an adult, what they look at again and what it means.
Well, something that is very easy that we've been all doing all our lives is to gauge the handshake. Because when we all know some people give you a lovely, warm handshake and you can feel the life in it. And those people have energy and vitality. For other people, the hand feels so limp, really almost like a jellyfish sometimes. You feel it collapse in your hand. And those people have very little energy and very little to give. And especially when they combine that with, you know how some people don't even offer you their full hand. They just sort of give you the fingertips. They don't really want to know you. And other people pump your hand so hard you think it was in a vice. And those people have too much energy and are too intense. And this is common sense. So much about the hand is common sense.
Mm-hmm. And you also talked about the color of the skin and the hand, because you can sometimes look at your hand, it'll be flush red, and at other times it'll be dappled white. And what does the coloring mean?
Oh, the color tells a lot.
And we're not talking about the back of the skin and the pigment of the skin. We're talking about the color under the skin, on the palm.
Right.
And it can range from very red to a light pink to very white to yellow, very yellow. And if it's very yellow, you first ask them, first of all, have you eaten a lot of yellow vegetables, carrots? Because it can affect the color of the palm.
But mostly, it would be that there is something a little off with the liver and that mm-hmm. there is a more cranky or cynical attitude within the person.
It's like a jaundiced view. I love that.
Yeah, jaundiced.
Like a jaundiced view, exactly.
Yeah.
And what about, like, the bright red? Like, I notice sometimes even in my own hand, like, some areas will be bright red, like right now all around the thumb and the fingers and the mounts at the top and on the side, but the center of the hand is very white.
Well, it's so fascinating because sometimes it's an overview of a color and or a blush, and it doesn't matter whether someone is dark-skinned, light-skinned, you know, olive complexion. The palm is always has the tone, a lighter tone than the rest of the body. Plus, you can see the blood under it, and that's where the pinkness comes from. A lovely pale pink is considered the healthiest. White, you're not going to see chalk white unless it's a super, you know, Caucasian, northern, you know, climate kind of person. Mostly what we call white is a withdrawal of color, almost like pure, flat, flesh tone without any pink highlight. And those people are cold and do not have much to give because pink is the color of life. So that when the hand is very pale or withdrawn of color, those people are not necessarily friendly, need time alone, and are more selfish and self-absorbed. When the hand is red, if it's just one portion of the hand, you note which part it is, and the part, you would have to look it up in the book, but if it is a certain mount, you know, one of the seven mounts, that part of the brain is on fire. If the whole palm is red, then you know that they are generally intense, fiery, passionate people. And maybe it's a little too much. Maybe they even have a little blood pressure problem.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. I know people like that.
When we were writing, when I was working on this book, many times, because we had talked about the three worlds, how the top phalange, the top section of the fingers is the mental world, and the middle section of the fingers is the practical, and the bottom one closest to the palm is the physical, sensual world. Do you know that many times Dorian would say to me, look, your fingertop phalange, they're all red, because we could be getting so excited mm-hmm. about an idea that my top phalange would get red.
Mm-hmm.
If you have, and anyone who's listening, and I would say this to you as well, look well if your hand is pale, but there is a bright red or dark pink corner in the bottom lower, say, if you're looking at your right hand, not the side where the thumb is, but opposite it where the mount of the moon is, and the mount of the moon is much redder than the rest of the hand, we call that the psychic blush. It means the unconscious is highly active.
Huh, interesting. And what about this effect that I was trying to describe, which I know healers sometimes get, where your hands are red and in areas, and then a certain area kind of gets a little mottled, like almost like a little white spotted over top of the red?
Now, that is not an easy indication, because mottledness often has to do with some disturbance of the endocrine system.
Uh-huh.
And so people may have something with thyroid or any of the...
Well, you hit it. That's perfect. I have that, and I have hyperthyroid. It's so interesting.
Yes, and it's an easy diagnosis, but I've also seen it on diabetics. And people especially who are different parts of the hand, and each of us is a combination of one or two of the mounts are more prominent than the others, but each one has its own individual health issues. And many people who are highly intuitive and mystical have that same part of the hand rules the endocrine system,
mm-hmm.
whereas myself, who has a good deal of Saturn, and Saturn rules palmistry, and that's how I came to be both a palmist and an astrologer. Saturn also has a lot to do with that. We have bone and joint issues.
And that's the middle finger mound right below the big long finger in the middle.
It's the middle finger mound, and that is rarely huge. It's often flat. Many people who are highly Saturnian have hands which have a flattish look. In fact, none of the mounts will look that high. Other people, like, say, Dorian, who has an awful lot of the mount of Mars and Mercury, her hand is, and Venus, her hand is filled, right? Wouldn't you say that, Dorian?
Yeah, it's very puffy.
Many full mounts.
Very full mounts.
It is so interesting. Unfortunately, it's radio, so we can't do justice to your beautiful work, but I can encourage all of our audience who want to learn. I mean, you can see, ladies and gentlemen, that truthfully our hands tell a lot. Our guests have been Ellen Goldberg and Dorian Bergen. Ellen's website, schooloforacles.com. Dorian's website, acagalleries.com. Their book, The Art and Science of Hand Reading, a Destiny Book 2016 release, and links are on our website at 21stcenturyradio.com.
On Talk Radio 680 WCBM Baltimore and WCBM.com.